WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. After being killed and revived several times, a bill ending qualified immunity for police is finally rejected by the state Senate. And we have a review of that and other actions in the special session in Richmond. Despite lingering allegations of sexual assault, Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax says he's running for governor. And we spend some time with one family, with kids back in school, doing classes from home, online. How's that working? This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, September 11th. Well, let's get right to the General Assembly session yesterday. For now, police officers will still have protections from getting sued for misconduct. Late Thursday, the state Senate panel rejected a bill that would have ended qualified immunity for law enforcement officials. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Police officers across Virginia are protected from being sued by a judicial doctrine known as qualified immunity. That's become increasingly controversial in the era of Black Lives Matter, which is why Delegate Jeff Bourne of Richmond introduced a bill to end qualified immunity for police officers. That bill passed the House of Delegates and then made its way over to the Senate Judiciary Committee.
We are really trying to give folks access to justice. That's really what it boils down to. I don't suspect that my testimony, my answers to these questions are going to change anybody's position on this bill.
Senate Democrats rejected the bill, ending the effort for now. But the Senate did approve a policing reform bill that Senator Scott Servel of Fairfax County says may reduce the need for Bourne's bill on qualified immunity.
They can be immune if there's ambiguity about what the law is. And so if there's a clear rule, if there's a clear standard, you do not get qualified immunity. This bill puts a bunch of clear rules in the code, so you don't have to go and read a bunch of cases to try and figure out what the law is.
The policing reform bill does not end qualified immunity, but Senate Democrats say they hope the standard of conduct in the bill will allow officers to be charged for wrongdoing.
The Senate did pass a landmark bill approving policing reform. That vote came after a debate over the use of military equipment, and Michael has that report.
Surplus military equipment is available to police departments and sheriff's offices across the country for free from the Pentagon. But concerns about the militarization of law enforcement agencies are raising new questions about whether police officers and sheriff's deputies need military-grade rifles and ammunition and camouflage uniforms.
Virginia Beach, we have flooding issues. We have an MRAP, which was provided by the military.
Republican Senator Bill DeStef of Virginia Beach talking about a mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicle, the kind used in Iraq. He says law enforcement agencies need those kinds of vehicles to help during flooding.
I don't want to leave people stranded in Sandbridge or stranded in areas of our community when we have the opportunity to get the equipment, not just get the equipment, but get it for free from the federal government.
Senator Mamie Locke, a Democrat from Hampton, introduced the bill on policing reform. She says the issue about flooding DeStef raised is a red herring.
We know for sure that we're not talking about weather-related issues when it comes to military equipment, when it comes to law enforcement agencies, and dealing with communities. That's not what we're talking about here, and we all in this room know it.
The Senate passed Locke's bill on a party-line vote, sending it over to the House, which is considering about a dozen bills on policing reform. Michael Pope.
Meanwhile, the House of Delegates approved a bill on Thursday that would create teams of mental health service providers and peer recovery specialists to accompany police officers responding to individual crises. The bill now heads to the state Senate for a vote, dubbed the Marcus Alert System. The proposal references the death of a black man who was shot and killed during an encounter with the Richmond Police Department in 2018. An officer shot and killed Marcus David Peters, a 24-year-old high school biology teacher, after Peters charged the officer. Peters was unarmed, and his family said he was experiencing a mental health crisis. Faced with uncertainty about the costs of the coronavirus, earlier this year, lawmakers hit pause on plans to spend more money on Medicaid coverage. But in spite of an expected revenue shortfall, policy experts say there's plenty of money left for healthcare spending. Virginia Public Radio's Kat Modlin Jackson reports.
Virginia saved millions on Medicaid spending this year because of a boost in federal funds, giving lawmakers the opportunity to restore programs that were backburnered because of the pandemic. That's according to Freddie Mejia, a health policy analyst at the Commonwealth Institute for Fiscal Analysis.
We're asking them to reinvest a small portion of the money saved back into the state Medicaid program in order to make sure that folks have what they need and can meet their health care needs during this critical time.
That includes more Medicaid coverage for pregnant women, new moms, and immigrants. It would also mean dental benefits for adults enrolled in the program. Sarah Bedard Holland is CEO of the advocacy organization Virginia Health Catalyst.
What happens in the mouth is happening in the whole body.
If people can't afford dental care, she explains, they can develop a number of health issues. And that's particularly problematic when a virus like COVID-19 is running amok.
Keeping an individual's mouth healthy as part of a respiratory illness is one of the contributors to overall health.
Some members of the House Appropriations Committee have signaled personal support for the program, but faced with a host of competing priorities, the budget is still a work in progress. I'm Kat Maudlin Jackson.
A circuit court judge has ordered the removal of a portrait of Confederate General Robert E. Lee from its prominent position in a Louisa County courtroom. The action reverses Judge Timothy Sanner's earlier ruling that kept the portrait in place. Sanner wrote that the controversy swirling around Lee's image, especially given this year's renewal of protests over racial injustice, could interfere with the fair administration of justice. The judge ordered the portrait and an accompanying Daughters of the Confederacy plaque removed from the courtroom by September 23rd. Vice President Mike Pence spoke to the cadets at the Virginia Military Institute in Lexington yesterday. He claimed that President Trump respects the armed forces. 1 week after reports that Trump referred to captured and fallen members of the military as, quote, suckers and losers, Trump has a long history of denigrating service members and families, including the late Senator John McCain and the Gold Star family of UVA grad Humayun Khan, who was killed serving in Iraq in 2004. Video from Thursday's event showed the cadets wearing masks during Pence's speech in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, and they were spaced in accordance with guidelines of medical experts. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy, a VMI graduate, accompanied Pence. Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax says he will run for governor despite two high-profile allegations of sexual assault. Fairfax joins a crowded field of Democratic hopefuls looking for their party's nomination to run for governor in 2021. The lieutenant governor position is a traditional launching pad for gubernatorial bids, and Fairfax would normally be considered a strong candidate, but unsettled allegations of sexual assault made by two women last year will complicate his ability to raise money and build support. He has strenuously denied the allegations. He said his campaign will focus on his support for Medicaid expansion, police reform, and increased education spending. Well, speaking of education, finally today, for many families, this week has been the first of a new virtual school year. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain spent the morning with one family.
There you go.
Hi.
Hi.
Shortly before 8 a.m., Jen and Basil Simpress's third grader sits at his desk and watches his classmates' faces pop up on a screen. Basil Simpress says the kids are already adjusting to virtual life.
Before, kids would pass notes to each other. Now the teacher has had to turn off the chat function.
One example of what parents and teachers are learning: kids are resilient. In nearby Chesterfield County, there were some connectivity glitches on the first day that were resolved, and in Charlottesville, a brief internet outage impacted some students. But things have gone smoothly so far for this Henrico County family. Jen Simpress credits the school and teacher with being organized and communicative, and her own son for knowing how the technology works.
So he already knew Chromebooks, he already knew his password, he already knew, you know, it's not like all of a sudden they dropped this alien life form onto his lap. Like, he knew what to do.
He was a little nervous the night before, but I think he was more nervous about adult-oriented concerns, like, would our internet work?
They did upgrade their home internet, but that is not the biggest adjustment they've made. With limited childcare options, Jen Simpress quit her job to help with virtual school and to homeschool their 4-year-old. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you stay safely connected and enjoy your Friday.